So yesterday, I was watching the TV, and we turned it on to ESPN. It was kind of, you know, there's a few different ESPN channels, and one of the ESPN channels had this thing called Pop Darts on it. Has anybody ever seen the game called Pop Darts before? Okay, so this is what it is there on the screen. It's a game called Pop Darts, and basically what it is you have these little dart things that have suction cups on each side of them. As you can kind of see there in the picture, it has suction cups. And then you have like a logo like Pop Darts, or sometimes it'll just be a little base. And basically, the goal is to be about 15 feet away or so. And what you'll do is there'll be two people playing, and you'll take turns throwing these Pop Darts. And the whole goal is to try to get as close to the center as possible. So if you're throwing it like one of those little Pop Darts logos, you'd be trying to get the little suction cup to stick on the Pop Darts logo. Sometimes there's a few different variations of the game. But you'll just try to throw it, and you know, throw it, and one will go. Then you'll alternate back and forth. And at the end of the round, I think each team has three darts or something like that. At the end of the round, the person who is closest to the center target gets 3 points. And then for every dart that you get on the board, you get 1 point. And then you go kind of like cornhole to 21 points or 24 points or whatever it is. So, hey, now you can say that you learned a new game at church today, Pop Darts, right? So now if somebody talks about Pop Darts, you know exactly what it is. These little darts that have suction cups, you can tell them the rules, I'm sure, right? No. But the whole goal of the game is to get as close as possible to the target. As close to the target as humanly possible. But I wonder, as Christians today, do we want to be close to God? If you will, if close to God is the target, do we want to get close to the target? Do we want to get close to God? Do we want an intimate relationship with God? I sure hope each one of us does want that close relationship with God. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Oh, I want to be close to God." Oh, I want to be close to God. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Micah. The book of Micah. Micah chapter number 6 this morning. Micah chapter number 6. Towards the end of your Old Testament there, you got Jonah, Micah, and then Nahum. And as you're turning there, really what I'm going to be sharing with you today, this concept of being close to God and walking with God, is really something that the Lord really started to work in my heart about probably 3 to 4 months ago as I was just kind of reading through my Bible. The Lord really just, his theme just kept popping up and popping up and popping up. And really that's what we're going to be looking about is, oh, I want to be close to God. Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Let's begin reading that here. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy. And I want you to notice this last phrase. And to walk humbly with thy God. Walk humbly with thy God. That's a concept that we're going to be looking at today. Walking with God and being close to God. If you would join me for a quick word of prayer, then we're going to jump right into the meat of the message. Father, I sure do love and thank you, Lord. I thank you so much just for the faithfulness of your people. Lord, I thank you just so much for Oak Mound, and Lord, just for each and every individual, Lord, that makes up the church. Lord, I love them and I love the church, Lord, and I pray that you'll just really speak to our hearts, Lord, today through the preaching of your word. I pray that, Lord, you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we all leave here, Lord, just a little bit closer to you. We sure do love you. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. So the word here at the end of verse 8 here in Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8, the word walk there, it's used 1,546 times here in the Old Testament. So wow, it's used almost 1,500 times here in the Old Testament. So if it's used a lot of times, it just refers to, you know, just a normal walk. But it has some more specific definitions, which is what we're really going to be focusing in on today. So let's define, as we start out this message, let's define, what does walking with God really look like? What does walking with God look like? Well, first of all, what it is not. What walking with God is not. Walking with God is not just simply a list of do's and don'ts. Well, if I do this and I don't do this and I do this and I don't do this, I'm walking with God. We're doing good. If I go to church and I don't sin, I don't go to the bar, I'm walking with God. No, that's not necessarily what walking with God is. You know, walking with God, it's not also just a one-time decision where you're at church one day and the preacher gets up, hey, you need to have a close walk with God, you need to walk with God, and you make a decision, and then you just live the rest of your life the way you want. That's really not what a walk with God looks like. Walking with God is not, again, not just going to church, or not just reading the Bible, or not just witnessing. Well, all of those things absolutely are a part of it. It's just not exclusively doing those things. And, oh, you've got a close walk with God. Because somebody can do all of those things. They can come to church, they can read the Bible, but they've never asked Jesus to be their personal Savior. They don't have a true walk with God. A walk with God really starts at salvation and then should grow as the more that you walk with God. As you're reading the Bible, the more you come to church, your relationship with God should grow from there. So really, what is it? What does walking with God really look like? So I've defined it this way. I'm going to read it a couple times. I've defined it this way. Walking with God is an intimate relationship with God where the Christian lives in close fellowship with God that results in a life that is lived in surrender to the Lord. Let me read that again. Walking with God is an intimate relationship with God where the Christian lives in close fellowship with God that results in a life that is lived in surrender to the Lord. So let's break down that definition here for a minute. So walking with God is an intimate relationship with God. I've already mentioned it, but to have a true walk with God, you have to be saved this morning. You have to know for sure that you are on your way to heaven. And if somebody is here today or they're listening online and they've never asked Jesus to be their personal Savior, they've never by faith asked Jesus to save them, well, hey, there's no better day than today to get that nailed down. Call out to God, say, God, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I believe that Jesus was your son. I believe that Jesus lived a perfect life and died on the cross to pay for my sins. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Hey, friend, you can be saved today. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never made that decision to get saved, why not today be that day where you can really, truly start your walk with God? But here we're really talking about for the Christian. So it's this intimate relationship, not just when you get saved and then really you don't go to church or you just really don't care about the things of God. But no, we're talking about an intimate relationship with God. You know, if you think about a husband and wife, and hopefully you have an intimate relationship with your spouse where, you know, you share things that you wouldn't share with anybody else. And you know their strengths, you know their weaknesses, you know when they're going through a tough time, you know each other really close. That's kind of what we're talking about, if you will, between us and God. The intimate relationship where you're close, where you know each other in a special way. So it's an intimate relationship with God where the Christian lives in close fellowship with God. Again, fellowship, whenever you're really close. And it's just, you know, whenever church is having good fellowship, isn't it sweet? You know, I think of women's mission, men's fellowship, or just, you know, the church Christmas party, birthday party for Jesus, just whenever you're around God's people. And boy, wasn't that fun? You know, the Christmas parade, you know, you're decorating. I tell you, I enjoy those times when you're just, you know, joking around, having a good time, enjoying fellowship with one another. It's a good time. Well, it's kind of the same way with God. Do we have that close fellowship with God where we're enjoying spending time reading the Bible, where we're enjoying praying to God? And it's not laborsome or it's not just a, you know, check in the box, but we're enjoying it. We're having that close fellowship with God. And really the last part of that definition, once we have those things, that results in a life that is surrendered to God. Whenever we're having that intimate relationship and that close fellowship with God, it really should result in that just obedience, just simple, sheer obedience before God Almighty, where we say, God, I want to do whatever you want me to do. If your word says it, then I'm going to do it. I want to follow you. So hopefully that gives you kind of an idea of what walking with God really should be. You know, if a Christian is walking with God, serving God, it's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be fulfilling. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, I think in general, we have a lot of Christians who are going through the Christian life thinking that they are pleasing God because they're reading the Bible and they're coming to church every once in a while. But really, they're not pleasing God because they're not walking with God on a daily basis. Maybe their Christianity is just a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night Christianity that really doesn't touch their Mondays or Tuesdays or Thursdays or Fridays and their Saturdays. To please God, we really need to have this close, intimate walk with God that we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at three different Bible characters, all from the book of Genesis. So, hey, if you're doing the one-year Bible reading plan, you've maybe already read about some of this, and maybe, hopefully, you will here in the next coming weeks. But we're going to be looking at three different Bible characters that really all had a walk with God. And we're going to be looking at some different lessons that we can learn from each three of these men. So, I'm going to have you turn to three different places. It'll be on the monitor. But if you would take your Bibles, the first place we're going to go, Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5 this morning. The first person we're going to be looking at is a man by the name of Enoch. Enoch, a Bible character that you don't really hear too much about, but he's really a really cool kind of guy. Enoch here, a little bit of background on this man. He lived 365 years on this earth, but kind of a spoiler alert, Enoch did not die. He's one of two men in the Bible who did not die, but rather God took him. Or it was, we're going to read about God translated him. So he never had physical death. He just went straight to be with God. Really a cool fact about him. Enoch was Methuselah's father. Methuselah was the oldest man who ever lived on the face of the earth. Now here, bonus points, trivia question for you. Does anybody know how old Methuselah was when he died? Got it, 969 years. Miss Connie, you get a gold star for the day, all right? So Enoch was Methuselah's father. And Enoch, he was a man who walked with God. So what are some lessons that we can learn from this man of Enoch? Let's read here Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. The Bible says this. And Enoch, here's our word. What, say it with me, if you would. And Enoch, what's that next word? Let's say it one more time. What's that word? Walked. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365. And Enoch, here's this word again, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The end of verse 24, he was not, for God took him. Again, he did not see physical death. God just took him straight to heaven. So now we're going to look at some lessons that we can learn from this man. Really, we don't know much about him. Really, just about 3, 4, 5, 6 verses, a handful of verses in all of Scripture about this man. But I think there's some great principles that we can glean from this man Enoch's life. Number one, under Enoch, walking with God is for anyone. Walking with God is for anyone. Enoch here, does it say that Enoch was some super, super spiritual Christian in our text that we just read? No, it doesn't. Nowhere in the Bible does it record that Enoch was, you know, a preacher or a Bible college student or a theological scholar. No, he was simply just a man who walked with God, who learned to have that close fellowship with God Almighty. There was nothing special about Enoch. There really wasn't. He was just simply a man who wanted to please God and want to live for God. You know, you may think that you're a nobody here today, and, well, God can never use me, or I'm nothing special. Hey, God can use you. You could be an Enoch who just simply learns to walk with God. You know, some people look at certain preachers or, you know, certain people doing great things for God, say, oh, there's somebody who walks with God. There's somebody who's really doing something for God. And all those people are. You know, like, Dad, he has a walk with God. I know that he does. I see him day in and day out. He's walking with God. But a lot of times preachers, they don't have a walk with God. Maybe they just go through the motions, or they get up and they preach and they want to look good before men. Just being a preacher doesn't guarantee that you're going to have a walk with God. But hey, can I say that anybody in the pew, anybody that's breathing, can learn to have a true walk with God. Walking for God is for anybody, all the way from the most spiritual person in the whole wide world to somebody who just got saved yesterday or today. They can have a true, close walk with God. Enoch here walked with God. He was just a simple human being who learned to walk with God. Number two, we're going to look at today, lessons we can learn from Enoch. Number one, walking with God is for anybody. Number two, walking with God is a good testimony to the world. Is a good testimony to the world. If you want to turn over, you can, to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. It'll also come up here on the screen. We find something else out here. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's known as the Hall of Faith, where the Bible records so many different men of faith who just did outstanding things for God. And we find this man, Enoch, in this Hall of Faith. Now, Enoch, he didn't, you know, kill the giant Goliath. He didn't part the Red Sea. But yet, we find him here recorded in the Hall of Faith, with all these other men who did great things. Well, let's look. Why is he here in the Hall of Faith? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. The Bible says this: by faith, Enoch, the man we're looking at, was translated that he should not see death again. He didn't die a normal physical death, but God took him, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Get this: that he pleased God. That he pleased God. You know, walking with God is a good testimony to the world. Why did Enoch have a good testimony? Why? Because he had a walk with God that resulted in him having a good testimony before the world. You know, testimony is simply, you know, what people witness or attest about a person's character and integrity. Enoch, he had a good testimony because his life was built on the foundation of walking with God. You know, I want to have a good testimony at the end of my life. Well, even right now, I want to have a good testimony. I hope you, as a Christian, want to have a good testimony at your workplace. Maybe you're working a job. I hope you want to have a good testimony before your coworkers. Maybe you're living in a condo or an apartment building, or you have neighbors. I want to have a good witness and a good testimony before my neighbors and my coworkers and, you know, my schoolmates, and you fill in the blank. I want to have a good testimony. And here Enoch had a good testimony. You know, a good testimony is a powerful tool. It really is. A good testimony is a powerful tool in your witnessing. You know, if you're just out, you know, say you're there at your house and you're playing rock music and you got blaring for the whole neighborhood to hear, and you know, you bring over a couple guys and you know, you pop open some beer cans and you're just having a good time watching football, and then you go over the next day and say, "Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus." What kind of testimony is that? That's a terrible testimony. I don't think your neighbor, they'd be like, "I don't want what you have. You're living just like me and you supposedly have Jesus." That's a terrible testimony. I want to have a good testimony to where I could go up to somebody and say, "Hey, can I share with you God's love?" And they would say, "Oh yeah, I've noticed you. You're a little bit different." I want to have a good testimony. Enoch here had a good testimony. And it came by walking with God. You know, at school, do you have a good testimony? You know, at work, do you have a good testimony? You know, do you say inappropriate things around the break table? You know, do you gossip behind a friend's back? Or do you gossip about somebody at church? You know, do you argue with different coworkers or your boss? Do you play video games that a Christian should play? You know, do you post things on social media that a Christian should post? All those things contribute to our testimony before the world. If I could remind you, Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." I want to have a good name. I want people, when they think of Ryan Delay, to think good thoughts. Say, "Hey, there's a person who's trying to live for God." Every decision you make affects your testimony one way or another. So really, maybe that should just be before you make a decision, before you lash out. Maybe you say, "Hey, this is going to affect my testimony." Hey, for all you grandparents, all you parents, every decision you make affects your testimony before your children. Think before you speak and do things. I want to have a good testimony. There's a man named Bobby Cox. I really didn't know anything about him. I was just Googling a few things about a week ago or so. There's his name. Bobby Cox. Now, he was a Major League Baseball player. He played for the New York Yankees, and later he was a manager for both the Blue Jays and the Braves, mainly with the Atlanta Braves for a long time. And Bobby Cox, he holds an MLB record, Major League Baseball record, but probably for something that you don't think about a whole lot. Bobby Cox, he holds the MLB record for the most ejections ever in the history of the Major League Baseball. Most ejections ever. He was ejected from 161 regular season ball games, and he was ejected from one spring training ball game. I don't even know why you get ejected from a spring training game, because it's just spring training. But hey, he was ejected, if you total up, from 162 total MLB baseball games. To put that in perspective, a total MLB season is typically between 160 and 170 games. So if you count up all the years that he managed, he got ejected from basically a whole season of an MLB season. That's kind of crazy to think about when you kind of put it in perspective. And I was watching some videos. It's kind of interesting. You know, sometimes he would come up out of the dugout and he'd be, you know, yelling. He'd be pointing. He would come up in the umpire's face and he would just get after it. You know, they'd be going back and forth, the umpire and him. And you're just watching. He's like, "Wow, this could kind of get heated." It was kind of a little bit fun to watch, to be honest with you. And the crowd's, you know, cheering because maybe it's a bad call or things like that. But, I mean, he was getting into it. And he got tossed from 162 total MLB games. But I wonder after the ball game if this Bobby Cox, if he went up, you know, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but if he went up to the umpire after the game and said, "Hey, Mr. Umpire, my name's Bobby Cox, and I know you just threw me out because I was yelling in your face a few minutes ago, but can I tell you about Jesus?" I don't think the umpire would say, "Oh, yeah, just lay it on me. I want to hear." No, I think the umpire would be like, "Are you kidding me? You just got in my face and you were mad and angry. No, I don't want to hear about you and your Jesus." Hey, a good testimony has consequences. A good testimony brings good consequences. A bad testimony brings bad consequences. How's your testimony before others, before the Lord, most importantly? Because, hey, God sees everything. Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. And that's number three that we're going to look at under Enoch. Walking with God pleases God. Look back at Hebrews 11, chapter number 5. Hebrews 11, chapter number 5. Look at the end of that verse. "For before his translation, he had this testimony." What was his testimony? "That he pleased God." I want to please God. I do. I want to please God. I want to have that testimony that he pleased God. I wonder right now, before God, could God say that about you? That you please him? That Bobby please God? That Debbie please God? That Lon please God? Do you have that testimony before God Almighty? I sure hope so. Enoch here had that testimony. Why did he have that testimony that he pleased God? I think it all goes back to Genesis chapter number 5, where he walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and it led to him pleasing with God, him pleasing God. And Enoch, if you look at the end of his life, I really think it's a life characterized by God's blessings. Because, I mean, Enoch, he didn't die. How cool is that? Enoch did not die. He just, God translated him. Why? I think it's because he had a close walk with God, and he had that close fellowship with God. God's like, hey, I enjoy spending time with this guy, if you will. And boom, he just took him, and now he's in heaven. He's been in heaven since that day. Our first character, Bible character that we looked at today was Enoch, and he walked with God. The second character that we're going to be looking at today is a man by the name of Noah. Noah, a more familiar Bible character, but if you would turn back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. And we're going to be looking about this guy named Noah. A little bit of background as you're turning back there. Maybe you're already there about Noah, but Noah's name, it means rest or relief. And Noah, he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Noah, he lived to be 950 years old. Now remember, this is pre-flood. So the atmospheric conditions were a lot different. People lived a whole lot longer back then, but he lived to be 950 years old. And Noah was the man whom God chose to build an ark. And we're going to look at that here in Genesis chapter number 6. We're going to read verses 5 through 13. Genesis 6 verses 5 through 13, if you would read along with me. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I love verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And here, look down here at this phrase. And Noah, what's that next word? Walked with God. That word that we've been looking at, walked with God. Verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. His character that we just read about is a man by the name of Noah. And Noah had a walk with God. So what's some lessons that we can learn from this man named Noah? Well, number one lesson we learned from Noah, you can walk with God when others don't. You can walk with God when others don't. Look back there at verse number 5 in Genesis chapter 6. Verse number 5. The Bible says this, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So let's get the picture. A lot of times we just read the Bible, but let's get the picture of what's going on. We think the world's bad today. It was a whole lot worse back here in Genesis chapter 6. The Bible says that God saw the wickedness of man was very great on the earth. Every thought of his imagination was only evil continually. This was a bad place. I mean, murders were happening, lying was happening, immoralities happened, you name it. It was happening here in Genesis chapter 6. And God's basically like, I've had enough. I need to destroy man, and if you will, start over with Noah and his family. It was an evil time. It was a terrible, terrible time. If you look back at verse number 11 in Genesis 6, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. I tell you, it was a terrible, terrible place. But in the midst of the terribleness, in the midst of sin and just evil, there was still a man who walked with God. And his name was Noah. You can walk with God when others don't. If you look back at verse number 9, that last phrase, and Noah walked with God. It's kind of interesting the way just the verses are here. We have verses 5 through 7 that really just talk about the evilness that's going on. And really verse 11 through 13, talks about the evil and everything going on. But in between the evil parts of the verses, we find this guy named Noah. We find a man who walked with God. Wow. In the midst of the chaos, Noah walked with God. You know, when your coworkers don't walk with God, you can still walk with God. When your family members don't walk with God, you can still walk with God. When the folks on your ball team don't walk with God, you can still walk with God. Simply determine, like Noah, that you're going to walk with God no matter what culture says, no matter what the world says, no matter what your boss says, that you're going to still keep your walk with God and stay faithful to God. When everybody else around Noah was not doing right, Noah walked with God. You know, if we put ourselves in Noah's shoes, I'm sure it's a little bit tough. You know, if you look around, nobody else was doing right. World's gone crazy. It'd have been easy for Noah to just say, well, you know, I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm going to go with the crowd. I'm going to just do my own thing. I'm going to stop walking with God. I don't really care about this anymore. But that's not what Noah did. Noah determined that, hey, I'm going to walk with God when others don't. I'm going to walk with God when others don't. I'm going to walk with God when others don't. You know, if we're all honest, I think there's a lot of peer pressure from culture to conform to what culture wants us to do or to conform to what this person wants us to do. Well, hey, how about we forget about what they want us to do and just simply do what God wants us to do? Noah walked with God. You know, I think of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph. That was a man who walked with God. If you think about the story of Joseph, you know, the true Bible account, you have Joseph who grew up and his father gave him a coat of many colors and his brothers hated him. They just envied him. They hated him. And they saw some different slave traders coming through and they threw their brother Joseph, they threw him into a pit. Then they decided to sell Joseph to these slave traders. And these slave traders, they took him into Egypt. And now Joseph, here he is, just a young man, 16, 17 years old, there in Egypt. He was sold into slavery. Then a guy named Potiphar bought him. And, you know, God was with Joseph. And Joseph, if you will, he's starting, you know, he's doing great. And God's blessing his life. And then he gets falsely accused by the wicked woman there, Potiphar's wife, of committing immorality with her. And he was falsely accused. And they take him, they throw Joseph into the prison. And he's there. Then there's two people in the prison, the butler and the baker. And basically, you know, one of them gets restored back to the king. One of them dies. Joseph said, hey, would you remember? Because remember, Joseph, he interpreted the dream for him. And he's like, hey, would you remember me? And then, you know, the other person's back in the king's palace and they forget about Joseph for 3 years. And for three more years, Joseph is there in prison. 3 long years. It'd have been easy for Joseph to stop walking with God, say, God, I am done with this. You've forgotten about me. But hey, Joseph, he just kept walking with God, kept walking with God, kept walking with God. And eventually that led to God's blessing on his life. And he ended up being second in command behind Pharaoh. Why? Because Joseph kept walking with God. When others around him weren't, he kept walking with God. You can walk with God when others don't. That's number one lesson we can learn under Noah. Number two under Noah, you can walk with God when it is hard. When it is hard, you can still walk with God. Now remember, Noah here, he was told to build an ark. An ark. But at this time, it had never rained from heaven before. It never rained. Like we know rain today, it never rained before. So God told him to build an ark, and Noah's like, probably like, an ark? Why? And God's like, hey, just build an ark. It's gonna rain. You know, it took faith for Noah to build the ark. Did you know that the ark that he was supposed to build, it was nearly 510 feet long and nearly 50 feet tall? If you've ever been to the Ark Encounter there in Kentucky, it's pretty amazing. It really puts it in perspective. I mean, it is ginormous. I mean, it is massive. It would be, you know, pretty much just imagine probably our auditorium. I don't know what the dimensions are, but it's probably pretty close. Imagine that this, probably 50 feet tall, it'd be a lot taller than this probably, because it's probably, what, 30, 35 feet, something like that. So a little bit taller and probably a little bit longer. But imagine one man who at this time, he's 500 years old, told to build this Ark. I'm sure Noah could have been like, well, God, I'm going to sit down in retirement. I'm 500 years old. I'm going to grab my good old hot tea and I'm just going to start drinking some and just watch the world go down. Is that what Noah did? No. Noah's like, okay, God, you commanded me to build this ark. I am going to build this ark. Even when it's hard, even when others are opposed to me, even when culture's against me, I'm going to keep on walking with God. Noah had that close fellowship with God that enabled him to obey God because he knew that God would be faithful in his promise. And hey, I'm thankful Noah built that ark. Because hey, we may not be here, right? But God, through Noah, saved humanity. And here we are today. You know, a lot of times it is hard to walk with God. It really is. You're tired and you're fatigued. And you know, maybe you're having aches and your pains. And you're just like, I just really don't feel like reading my Bible today. Or I really just don't feel like going to church today. But sometimes we just need to push through some of those things and say, God, with your help, I'm going to read the Bible today. I'm going to pray with you today. I'm going to walk with you today, even when it may be hard. I hope we walk with God when it is hard. On January 23rd of this coming year, so I guess what? 19 days away or so, there's a guy named Alex Honnold. He's going to step onto the exterior of Taipei 101. So basically, has anybody heard of that building? It's a building in Taipei. Taipei 101, I'd really never heard of it. I saw a commercial, so I was curious, and I looked it up, and I read this article on it. But Taipei 101, it's a massive building there in Taiwan, and it's made of 1,667 feet of glass, steel, and concrete. And this guy named Alex Honnold, he's going to attempt to free climb all 101 floors of the building without ropes. I think the guy's crazy a little bit, if you ask me. But he's going to attempt to climb the outside of this building, no ropes, no nothing. Just free climb this 101-story tall building. I would say that that is a hard task, right? But yeah, you know what, Alex, he said, you know what, I'm going to do it. He's like, I want to do it, and I'm going to do it. He, if you will push through. You know, sometimes as Christians, it's going to be hard to walk with God. But if you will, would we be like an Alex that even though this seems a little bit crazy, it seems a little bit hard, I'm going to simply keep on walking with God. If you will, I'm going to climb that building because I want to. I'm going to keep walking with God. Sometimes walking with God is going to be hard, but will we continue to walk with God? First Bible character we looked at is Enoch. The second Bible character we've looked at is Noah. And the last Bible character that we're going to look at today is a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham, if you would turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 17. Genesis chapter 17, the last place here that we'll turn here. Genesis chapter 17, as you're turning there, a little bit of background on Abraham. Hopefully you know kind of about him, but he was from the land of Ur, and his name means father of a nation. And Abraham, he was called by God to leave his hometown of Ur to go to a land that he didn't know. And God eventually led him to the land of Canaan, and God promised him a son in his old age. This is after the flood, so if you will, they live more of how long we would live today. And Abraham, he was promised a son. And now Abraham, he's now 99 years old whenever we get to our Bible account today. Genesis chapter number 17, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 this morning. The Bible says this, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so he's 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Here's this word that we've been looking at. Walk before me and be thou perfect. When it says perfect, it's not saying about literally being perfect without sin. It's not talking about that. Verse number 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Number one lesson that we can learn from the life of Abraham. Number one, walking with God starts with recognizing who God is. Walking with God starts with recognizing who God is. If you look back at verse number 1, it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. It literally means God Almighty. This is the Hebrew word for God that it's El Shaddai, and it literally means God Almighty. God refers to himself 48 times as the El Shaddai, or God Almighty, here in our Old Testament. But here, God wanted to show Abraham. We're looking at too many Bible characters today, right? I'm getting myself confused. But God here wanted to show Abraham his power and his majesty. And he shows up before Abraham and says, I am the Almighty God. You know, starting a walk with God really starts with recognizing who God is. God, you're great. God, you're powerful. God, you're holy. I want to walk with you because you are so great. We need to walk with God. And then God, he kind of transitions from showing his authority to really giving Abraham two commands. The first command was to walk before me. The second command, and be thou perfect. The word perfect here means upright or without blemish. He was telling Abraham to do what was right and to simply walk with God. Walking with God really starts with recognizing who God is. We say, God, you're great. You are holy. You're wonderful. I need to serve you. Number two lesson that we can learn from the life of Abraham, walking with God ends with obedience. So it starts with recognizing who God is, but it really ends with obedience. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you'd like. Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48 and verse number 15. Look at this. This gives us some insight. Did Abraham obey the command of God to walk with him and be perfect? Well, look at chapter 48 of Genesis, verse number 15. Here we have kind of what's going on. We have Jacob. and he is blessing his sons. He's blessing his sons here, and we find out some interesting facts about Abraham. It says, Jacob speaking, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers, catch this, Abraham and Isaac did walk. The God which fed me all my life long unto this day. So here we have Abraham. He was Jacob's grandfather, all right? So Abraham was Jacob's grandfather. And Jacob, he says here that Abraham walked with God. Here's the key here. Abraham walked with God. He obeyed the commands that he was given by God Almighty. Get this, a person that walks with God will obey God. A person who walks with God will obey God. It's just a simple fact. Whenever you're walking with God, whenever you have that close fellowship and that intimate relationship with God, that whenever you see God for who He is, that's just naturally going to lead to you wanting to obey God. Why? Because you have that close fellowship. You get to see who God is. You get to know God's plan for life because you're in God's Word. You're praying. You have that close, intimate fellowship, and you just simply want to obey God. A walk with God really leads to obedience. D.L. Moody said this. He said, if I walk with the world, I can't walk with God. How true that is. If you're walking for the world and just for what the world can give you and don't really care about God, you're not going to walk with God. You need to walk with God exclusively. Walk with God. It ends in obedience. We must learn to walk with God, and it is accomplished by obeying God. So as we kind of wrap up this morning, I hope each one of us wants to walk with God on a daily basis. You know, God's plan for your life is way better than what you can come up with for yourself. It truly is. God's plan is the best plan for your life. Well, how do you know God's plan? Well, simply by walking with God. Let's get really practical as we close today. I'm going to read the definition to kind of help us again. But walking with God is an intimate relationship with God where the Christian lives in close fellowship with God that results in a life that is lived in surrender to the Lord. You know, keep in mind that walking with God doesn't happen overnight. It's cultivated by faithfulness. It really is faithfulness. Every day doing what you know God wants you to do today. So how do you develop a close walk with God, that close, intimate relationship? Well, it really starts with getting in God's Word. It really does. It's so simple. It's so foundational. We got to get in God's Word every single day of our lives. If we're going to truly walk with God, if we're going to know what God wants, we got to get in the book. We've got to get in God's Word. You know, we're just into a new year, and I know Dad challenged us last week about getting in God's Word and, you know, taking the Bible reading challenge or something like that. Well, hey, would you purpose in your heart that you're going to get in God's Word every day? Maybe pick up a Bible reading challenger. I've started mine. I've got it on my phone. I've got it digitally, electronically. A Bible reading plan, you know, to read through the Bible. Hey, get in God's Word every day. If you're ever going to have a walk with God, you got to get in God's Word every single day. Another way that we can get close to God and have a close walk with God is by prayer. It's really not complicated. Really, Bible reading and prayer. It's getting before the throne of grace and saying, God, I really need your help today. God, would you give me direction? God, would you give me wisdom? God, would you help me with this? God, would you please show me things in your word today by prayer? Another is by witnessing. That's one way that we can be close to God is by obeying God's command to witness and inviting people to church and telling them about Jesus and sharing the gospel with folks, passing out gospel tracts. That's all ways that we can develop a close walk with God. How about by going to church every single service? Every time the doors are open, say, hey, I want to get close to God. And hey, I want to get close to God because I want to hear God's word preached. I want to come to church every time that I can to hear more of God's word so I can get closer to God and closer to God and closer to God because I want to see God. I want to be close to God. How about by simply just obeying what you know to do is right from the word of God? That's one way that you can be close to God is by simply obeying the commands that's laid out in Scripture. Say, okay, God, I know you don't want me to lie. I know you don't want me to gossip. I know you don't want me to be bitter. I know you don't want me to hold this grudge against a person. Okay, so I'm simply going to obey. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to do, you fill in the blank, whatever you need to do. I'm going to obey God's word. You know, remember, walking with God's not by just accomplishing a list. I read my Bible today. I prayed today. But those things are absolutely a part of it. But we need to learn to have that close walk with God where you say, God, I want to be close to you today. I want to walk with you today. Would you purpose in your heart today to walk with God? To say, God, with your help in this new year, I want to walk with you. I'm going to get in your word more faithfully. I'm going to come to church faithfully. I'm going to pray faithfully. I want to be close to you. The date was December 19th of 2025. So just really a few days ago, really just about 10 or so days ago. The place was Uganda, East Africa. There was two BIMI missionaries named Matt and Savannah Gardner. And the Gardners are a young missionary family. They graduated from West Coast Baptist College out in California, and they went to the mission field there in Uganda, East Africa. It was just a normal day for the Gardners. They were missionaries just faithfully serving the Lord, you know, trying to start churches and see people saved and just doing a great work over there. And they were traveling on one of the main streets in the city of Kampala when a train crossed the road and hit their vehicle. Savannah, the missionary's wife, was killed instantly, just instantly went to be with the Lord. The two sons, they were completely fine, just real young sons. I think, you know, 5 and 3 or something like that, really young sons. They were in the back seat. They were completely unharmed and fine. The husband, he went to the hospital, and it was a little pretty serious there for a little while, but then they found out that everything was good, and he's now, since he's been discharged from the hospital, and everything's been fine with him. And a couple of days after the accident, Matt, the missionary, he said this. He wrote this. It was on Facebook and different things. He said, "Thank you for your flood of encouraging texts and emails. This has been the biggest trial of my life, but I can tell that we are constantly before the throne of grace. I was just discharged from the hospital. All of my internal injuries have been verified to be non-life-threatening. After I grieve and transition to being a single father of two small children, I plan to return to Uganda in whatever ministry capacity I'm able to do and continue working for our great Savior's kingdom in the harvest field." Wow. Let those words sink in. This man who just lost his wife, who's now going to be a single father to two young children, saying that, hey, even after all this tragedy, I'm still going to go back to the mission field. I'm going to work in however I can there in Uganda to see people saved, to see churches started. How could a man do that? How? I think it's because Matt has a walk with God. And he's just not saved, but he has an intimate walk with God. He has a close relationship with God that enables him to go through this hard thing. I'm sure there's been times like, God, I don't understand why you took my wife. I don't understand what you're doing. But God, I can trust you through it. And he's walking with God. You know, I've noticed a couple times he's posted just different things that he's been reading from his devotions. Just as he's been reading through God's word, and he'll post a different verse and said, you know, this verse is helping me today, or this verse is helping me today. Why? He has a walk with God. He's like, because I have a walk with God, I know God has a plan. Even though I don't understand, I'm going to go back to where God's called me, and I'm going to keep on serving God. I want to have a walk with God like Matt has. I want to walk with God every single day. Say, God, with your help, I'm going to learn to walk with you. I want to develop that close relationship with God. Can I say a close walk with God will really transform the way you think about life? It'll transform the way you live. It'll transform everything about you because you're living in fellowship with God Almighty. May each one of us in this new year learn to have a close walk with God. To be like Enoch, to be like Noah, to be like Abraham. And in all three of their lives, was their lives perfect? No. Were they perfect? No. They still failed. They messed up. But yet they had a walk with God. They kept on doing what was right. Maybe that characterized each and every one of us. If you would stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I'm going to ask Pastor to come here. I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to have Pastor close the invitation however he sees fit. I'm going to give you just some silence there at your seat. Just, I'll give you about 30 seconds there. You're saying just to talk to the Lord. Maybe you just want to say, God, would you help me to walk with you in this new year?